greet each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful to be back with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We just ask that you would help us to bring glory and honor to you in what we say and do. We just pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Help us be faithful again to you, Lord. Give us the words to say this morning, the understanding, the ears to hear. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, like I said, I want to bring greetings to you in Jesus' name. Be back with you again this morning. We've had a real blessed time in Mexico the last two weekends, meeting with the brethren there. It's been a real blessing to be there. Been good encouragement. Want to open our Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 22. Begin in verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is the heart of what he is saying in this declaration. It says that if anyone adds to this book, he said that I will add to the curses that are in this book. We know the book of Revelation, and we see some of the horrific things that God is going to do when he pours out his wrath. Some of the terrible things, the curses, the plagues that this book depicts. Some of the most fearful things that you could ever imagine. And here in this last declaration, he says, if you add to what I am telling you, or if you add to this book, it says, I will add to these plagues upon you. Some people say, oh, he's just talking about the book of Revelation. But I don't believe that. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says basically the same thing. And also in the psalm, at the beginning, in the middle of the Bible, and in the end, it says the same things. And what he's talking about is that the truths of God. I know we have different areas, the different times of how God dealt with people. We have a New Testament, we have an Old Testament, we have an Old Covenant, and we have a New Covenant. So some of the things, some of the different situations, some of them have changed, but the heart of God's laws have not changed. The heart of what God wants for us have not changed. We believe that we are a New Testament church, a new covenant. God has done away with the old, and now He's given us the new covenant. And that's what He's talking about here. The heart and the teachings that He has laid down in Thessalonians, Paul says, keep the traditions that we've handed them down to you. The New Testament traditions. And the point of what he's trying to say is if you start adding to what I've given you, he has a curse there. I'll add to you the plagues. He also says that if you take away from what I've given you, I'll take your name out of the book of life. This is one of the great problems, the great struggles that we face today. All around us, people with no faith either take away from the Word of God or they add to it. Hearing what God has to say takes faith. It's fearful sometimes just to stick with what He's given us, just to maintain what He's given us, the New Testament, the promises, the history of the church that's maintained this faith has simply stuck with the faith. But all around us, the faithless say, oh, it doesn't mean that for today. This is not for today. And so we don't have to listen to what the Bible says anymore, because it's not for today. Things have changed. We don't have to listen to what Jesus said. Things have changed. Or we have, on the other hand, people who are adding, making things stronger, or trying to clarify and define and add our own opinions to what it says. Add our own applications to what it says. Or some people add their own standards to what it means. But that curse means something. That curse means something. That adding to, whenever I add to, those curses are added to me. If I take away something, it means something. We can all look at the groups and the people that disregard the New Testament, disregard what Jesus said, and we can see where they're wrong. But the curse goes with adding to just as well as taking away from. Why is this important? Why is it important that we don't take away from or add to? That we simply keep the traditions. We keep the things that were handed down to us. Because if we take what has handed down to us and we put our twist on it, our little curve to it, what happens whenever you shoot an arrow straight and you stay right straight and you shoot right towards the target? It hits the target if you shoot it straight. But what happens if you put a little bit of a curve on it? If you start something going, if you start something, give something a direction, and you keep it straight, it'll go straight. But if you just put the slightest little curve on it at the beginning, the further it goes, the farther away from the truth it gets. Just the slightest little curve. Just the smallest little bit of twist to it, the further it gets away, the further. So that 2,000 years ago, the truth was set on a straight course. Boom. Someone puts a little twist on it. Someone takes a little something away from it. And so the farther it gets, people are still calling truth with a twist on it, and they just get farther and farther away. It gets harder. We think we're defining something to make it simpler. But it gets harder for someone down the road to discern right and wrong. How hard it is for people who have been trained in a religion, been taught that they're following the path and following the truth. They're trying to maintain the things that were handed down to them from their forefathers. And they're taught that you've got to guard this and you've got to keep this. But if their forefathers put a little twist on it somewhere, and you're guarding and protecting something that is off of the truth, you've missed it. How many people in eternity have lived a religious life, have lived a life where they thought they were following, they thought they were keeping the things that were handed down to them, are going to find out that somewhere, somebody put a little twist on it. So that what they've been following started out going straight, but it had a bend in it. Someone added to. That is the problem. That is the responsibility that we have to keep the focus on what we have. When we start adding to, we start making it stricter, we start making it different than what it really is, we're putting our own twist on it. We miss it. I'll give an example of this country, or a nation. People are fighting today for America. There's a lot of talk about America. People join the military to be a part, to fight for America. But the country, America, isn't what made America great. It was liberty that made them great. The men who built America into what it is were fighting for liberty. They were fighting for freedom. That's what they were fighting for. And because they fought for freedom, it developed into what we call America. Today, we get people that are fighting for America instead of liberty, and everything turns into, pretty soon, America could be communist, and everybody's fighting for America. That's not what it is. What makes it great is liberty. And that's the way it is with the gospel. We begin to defend our denomination or our traditions, and we stand and fight for them, and they've got this twist in them, and soon they're exactly opposite of what we thought we were doing, and we've missed the liberty and the freedom and the responsibility of just being what God wants us to be. Being disciples of Jesus, not disciples of a denomination, not disciples of some tradition that some man or some group of men invented in front of us that we're trying to regain and trying to come back to and trying to revitalize. Get back to liberty. Get back to freedom. Get back to Christ. And following Him. Putting His life, His teachings into practice. Our goal in the to have a body of believers that are just free to put into practice His teachings. When we start adding to or taking away from, pretty soon our fight is to defend what we've added or to defend what's been taken away. It's missed the mark. We're altering. We're messing up the road to the people who are following and are coming behind us. That's why there's curses and there's removal in messing with what God has given us. We're to keep the traditions that Christ has handed down to us. Talked with a man just this week that's confused. He thinks that we ought to be keeping the traditions that his forefathers, the Anabaptists, the Mennonites, or the Amish, passed down. And he's trying to regain, hold on to those traditions that were passed down. He said that the worldliness has just come about because of modern society. That's how warped the thinking is. The world crucified Jesus. It didn't come because of electricity. It didn't come because of cars. Worldliness was here when Jesus was here. Worldliness is what hates God. And it's wrapped in religion. Paul said he was zealous, keeping the traditions of his elders. You want to see a religious man, a dedicated man, a serious man? Look at Paul before he met Jesus. I mean, you talk about a religious, dedicated, sincere man. It would appear to everyone that that is a man of God. But he hated God and was trying to destroy Christ until he met him. Until he realized that he was wrong. It wasn't about religion. It wasn't about keeping all these traditions. It wasn't about keeping all these rules. It was about a man dedicated to being faithful to his Lord. A man dedicated to being like his God, a reflection of his God, and not just supporting and defending and dying for and killing for a religion. All because somewhere it got a little twist. Somewhere it got a little man's tradition. Somewhere someone decided that I'm going to try to fix what is wrong by altering the path just a little bit. Just altering the path just a little bit. It's unbelief. We might think we're really strengthening and holding on. But when we start adding to, trying to bolster up, when we try to strengthen it by adding to it, we're tearing it down. It's proving that we don't believe it. It takes faith just to simply believe it and let the attacks come, let people fall away, let people say what they will, try and not to have to get in and try to fix it myself. Salvation revolves around my will being surrendered to God's will. Not just keeping the rules. Not just trying to fix everybody else. Not just trying to fix the church. Not trying to do all of that. It's me surrendering my will to God's will. That is so important. It's so important. It is the heart of this message of repentance. Not me bending my will to a bunch of people trying to be religious. Not my bending my will or submitting my will to a group of people. It's surrendering our will to God. That is the greatest battle that Jesus fought when He was on this earth. He was in the garden the night before He was to be crucified. And He said, not my will. He said, Lord, I don't want what You're offering me. I don't like what You're offering me. Take this cup away from me. This was Jesus fighting a terrible battle. Take it away from me. And He prayed this till the drops were like blood. Take it away from me. And then He said, not my will, but Thine be done. He could have done all kinds of things to fix it, to make it more secure. But He said, Thy will be done. He trusted the Lord. He yielded Himself to the Lord, and His will became the will of the Father. We can't control what goes on around us. We can't control the times we live in. We can't control any of that. Our responsibility is to simply keep our hearts saying, Thy will be done. That's the purpose of prayer. Thy will be done. That's the biggest battle we face, because it's a lot easier to be religious. It's a lot easier to appear super holy instead of just saying, Thy will be done. Just to have to trust to walk through this life saying, God is in control, and all I want to do is just walk the path that He set before me. But we want to add two things. It gets a little boring, and so we want to make it a little more exciting. Instead of just being the church in this generation, we want to be somebody. We want to control other people. We want to take charge. We gave the example of just talking with a brother, their little struggle that they were having. And one of the brothers had asked counsel from another brother. And the brother took the counsel and he didn't listen just the way the other brother had told him. Just said what he said. You know what happened? You know what happens whenever we give advice to someone else and they don't take it? We usually get mad. We usually get upset because they didn't take my advice. When a brother comes to you and asks for advice, it's a privilege that he's come. He looks up to you. He respects your opinion. That does not mean he's going to follow everything you say. One time, I was at the nursery. We were selling trees. And there was two brothers came, and they were two old farmer brothers. And they just bickered all the time, back and forth. Everything they said. They got along. They worked together. They had been together all their life. But it just sounded like they were just a couple of roosters just fighting all the time. But they worked together. And one of them was buying some trees. And the other one just came along. And the one brother was looking at the trees and he was trying to make a decision. And he said, he turned to his brother and he said, what do you think? And his brother said, I'm not making any decisions for you. And the other brother looked at him and he said, I didn't ask you to make a decision for me. I asked you what you thought. I want your opinion. I'll make the decision, but I want it with a little help from your view of it. That's the way we need to look at working with each other. But we get all offended because he didn't listen to me. And so we run off and get mad and then cause a big division because we think our opinion ought to be followed by everybody else. It don't work that way. Our opinions don't matter. That's what happens. We put our opinions on this straight road, and our opinions begin to twist the thing. We all have different ideas. We all have different opinions. We all see things through our glasses, through our life experiences. We see things different. But loving our neighbor and loving God with our whole heart doesn't change. Doing the things that Jesus taught us to do don't change. We might apply them a little bit different. But whenever we have to start applying it the way I see it, or the way a group of people see it, and everyone has to do it the same, we're exalting ourselves above God. We're exalting ourselves to the place where I don't care what God says. And that's what happens. Whenever we can read this book and look at it and take it and let God speak to us and put it into practice, we can learn something from it. But whenever it's got a twist to it, we can't. We miss it. Whenever it's got to go through everybody else's opinion, it won't work. It works whenever we hear God ourselves. When we begin adding to, whenever we begin to have our way and our standard and our rules, we've added to this. And it's a horrific thing. We don't believe it. Whenever we start adding to something to make it stronger, what happens is God has a clear line. God has a clear line. And whenever we think that line isn't big enough or strong enough or it doesn't include enough, what we do is begin to paint our rules on the side of that line. We begin to make the line a little bigger. And so our line gets painted over. God's line gets painted over. That's why Jesus talks about us, by keeping the traditions of men, you've made of none effect the commandments of God. Because what's happened is we had a clear line. Oh, they're getting close to that line. We better paint them out. The line is the line. You know, in basketball, there's a black line that has the border. And if you step on the line, you're out of bounds. Not when you get close to the line. That's when you're out of bounds. And that's God's line. It's there for a reason. We don't always know just exactly when a man crosses that line or when he doesn't. It's not our place. But whenever we take that line because we don't know, and we think we better paint the line a little broader, what happens if there's one straight line right here, just one thin little line, and pretty soon someone paints this side of the line, and then they paint that side of the line, and then, oh, we better paint it a little broader over here and a little broader over here, and pretty soon the line is halfway across the room. And then I ask you, where is God's line? You don't know where it is anymore. It's gone. It's all been painted over. That's what your church standards do. That's what all your defining and all of your illuminating and all of your opinions and all of your adding to what God says does. And so the next generation comes along and they've got this big long black line, and they just say, well, I'll just stay here in the middle of it somewhere. And they don't know whether they're on it, over it. They don't know, have a clue of where God's line is. Because they're not listening to God anymore. They're listening to man. They're listening to the traditions of men. They've made things a whole lot more evil than what God did. Or they've made things where nothing matters anymore. What God says doesn't matter anymore. But they don't know the difference because they're walking down man's tradition right in the middle of it. And whoever set the twist, whoever laid the paint, God will add to their curses the plagues of their life. Whoever takes it away, he'll take their name out. This is not just some... I mean, most people think they're sincerely doing good. Most people think they're sincerely fighting the fight. Very dedicated, very serious. Very easily to be persuasive to people. Oh, he's a godly man. I need to listen to him. He's really cautious. He's really careful. So I better watch him while he paints a thicker line right beside God's line. And so people say, oh. And they follow that. They follow it. Not realizing that they're setting a course. They're setting the path off in a direction that they don't know where it's going to wind up. But it all looks good. By faith, people hear God. They listen. And they follow Him. Parents. Our children. You know, I heard a while back a little song someone has written. And the song starts out by this man's watching TV and he's watching these two people get married and they're two men. And so he gets all upset and he writes. He said, you need to come down to the farm and see how things really are. I've never seen two roosters walking hand in hand together, the little song goes. You don't get a cow with two bulls together. It don't work. Some people think, oh, that's... Well, what? We can get so holy that that's dirty. We can get so holy that that's ugly. And what happens is we've protected, we've built this wall that it's ugly. But that's what God made. And He wants us to be around things like that, to see how things function so that we don't wind up painting this pure picture of our own and we wind up later down the road two men getting married together and think that's all right because that other's ugly. That other's dirty. So we pervert everything just not by... Our children need to know how things function. That's why God just leaves it out in the open whenever we're working out on the farm, working with the chickens, they know about things. And it's not dirty. It's the way of the world. But we make it so dirty that in our minds, the children get their minds perverted. And that perverts everything they do. Sometimes we can make things too strict, too dark. Some of the darkest places in the world. Some of the darkest places I've ever seen in the world are the strictest Christian groups. That they've protected themselves and they've guarded themselves and they've painted black lines. Until inside it is so dark and black Because they won't face reality. They won't face what's real right in front of them. They turned it all dirty. And it's just blackened their hearts. Cursed it. We're not doing ourselves any favor by just keeping things so protected. What it does is winds up perverting things. It just winds up perverting things. Now I'm not talking I'm just saying what's natural, what's there. We can pervert it. And we can make our children see everything that's involved as dirty. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It's real. It's live. What we need is real faith, real life, real being what God wants us to be. Instead of whenever we start seeing failures, we start propping it up and patching it up, trying to maintain something that isn't real in the first place. The only way we're going to maintain our faith and pass our faith along to our children is walking it ourselves. If you're trying to preserve it, you're missing it. You walk it, and it'll be preserved. You live it, and it'll be preserved. It might not be with your children, but you can pass the salt, you can pass the torch, you can pass the light to somebody else. Jesus didn't regard lineage. He said faith was of those who heard faith. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who are my children? We get so caught up in trying to preserve our family, preserve our church, preserve our whatever. And all we're doing is adding to. He calls us to walk this faith. That's what He did. And the people who had ears to hear heard Him. He wasn't trying to preserve anything, trying to save anything, trying to build anything. He is trying to do the will of the Father. And that's enough responsibility for each and every one of us, all by ourselves. I've got my hands full. Jesus had His hands full. Just trying to do the will of the Father. And if we do that, the arrow will be straight and it'll be worth following. But if we try to add to it or take away from it, it'll be curved and it won't be worth anything. Nothing. If everyone does what they're supposed to do, it'll work. It'll work. But we're so caught up and so busy worrying about somebody else that what we're doing goes aside. It won't work. You may fail. But the way is still straight. You may fall. But the way is still straight. Someone who's following can say, they didn't quite make it, but I'm going to. They kept the road straight. And that's a success. That's what He wants. It's straight and narrow. Somebody ahead of you may fall. Somebody you trusted in may fall. But if they kept the road straight, follow the road anyway. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Help us be faithful to you. Help us bring glory to you and honor. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Last night, we were preaching. We had to stop on the way and go to the bathroom. I just walked in. Walked right into the girls' bathroom. Somebody was following me. Two or three people were following me. They just walked right in. I turned around and I said, "You walked into the girls' bathroom." And they said, "We were just following you." I said, "It's all right to follow somebody, but keep your eyes open. You can read the girls' sign just as easy as I could. It's all right to follow somebody, but keep your eyes open."